At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined this evening by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
It reminds me of my pussy, my kitty cat who died when I was five. Mrs. Pussy. She had feline AIDS. My pussy was my whole world, and when my pussy died, I kept her in my bed for days, stroking her and talking to her. And of course, my mother got so angry. "Stop playing with your pussy, Austin," she yelled. But I refused to, even when my pussy started smelling really bad and got really crusty. I just stayed locked in my room, grieving in private, because I just couldn't let go of my pussy.
That's it. Cut the show.
Yeah, that's it.
1 minute and 20 seconds into recording, and I'm done. Goodbye. Thank you for tuning in.
Aww.
I'm done. Cut the show. okay.
That was my introduction for this week.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, what happened was, we did a pre-recording. It was going all right. Slightly unhinged because, you know, it's an after-work recording on a Monday. Then Austin was like, "I need to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in a minute before we start really recording." And I was like, "Okay." And so I was just like browsing my phone for like 1 second. Between the minute and a half, 2 minutes or whatever that Austin was gone, he somehow managed to find whatever the hell that was. With no indication or warning.
I had to rewatch that scene to capture the delivery of the lines for my dramatic monologue that I just read.
Do you want to tell us all what in the heck you just read?
That was a quote from All's Fair on Hulu, starring Kim Kardashian as a lawyer, because she couldn't possibly become a lawyer in real life because she's too much of an idiot. So instead, Ryan Murphy had her play a lawyer on TV. She doesn't actually do any lawyering at any point in the show.
Oh.
The only good part is when Sarah Paulson comes on screen, she says crazy shit, like that monologue I just read.
Sarah Paulson opposite Kim Kardashian is blowing me away.
Well, guess what? One of them can act and one of them can't. Guess which one's which?
I think I have an idea.
Yeah, Glenn Close's husband dies, and Sarah Paulson's like, "I got this." And she comes in and she delivers that monologue.
Why is this a show?
It's the worst show ever produced in American television history. At one point, it had a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've watched every episode.
Why?
You know, if I didn't enjoy watching really bad media, this podcast would not exist. Here we are.
Here we are. Way to drag us all. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm dragging Pokemon the series, but, you know, I'm dragging us along with them.
I was looking up, okay, you saying that just reminded me, because I thought I'd seen something in recent news or pop culture, like, headlines. It was her, like, giving her results of her bar exam.
Oh, Kim K?
Yeah.
The ChatGPT thing? Yeah.
What was it that she said? Like, she had a brain problem or something?
I think it was two different things. One of them was, she tried to use ChatGPT to study for the bar, and then it gave her incorrect information because ChatGPT isn't fucking real, and then she, like, blames ChatGPT on her inability to pass the bar.
Sure.
Unrelated to that, she took some sort of quiz or something that was like, how smart are you or how dumb are you? And it was like, you're really dumb. And she was like, oh my God.
You know what? Halfway through that, I just realized I don't really care. So why are we talking about this?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I do not keep up with the Kardashians. Good. However, I generally do keep up with the Ryan Murphy shit. So, sorry.
It's a give and take. Speaking of, like, pop culture, I don't know if we should dive deep into this. I don't necessarily want to dive deep into it, but I just want to say, rest in peace to Rob Reiner and Michelle Singer Reiner, because
yes, that is sad. I want to do a Rob Reiner marathon now. Yeah. When Harry Met Sally.
Me too. God, Princess Bride is one of my favorite films. It's so good. It's such a fantastic movie.
Stand by Me. That's a Pokemon connection right there.
A Few Good Men. That was another one. A
bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, definitely a Hollywood titan. So, very sad news that came out yesterday.
Should we say Stephen King was the one who had more of an impact on Pokemon, or was it Rob Reiner?
Everything connects to Pokemon.
I can make it connect to Pokemon if I try hard enough.
6 degrees of Pokemon.
For those who don't know, in Generation 1, one of the first things you can do is look at the television in your house, and Stand By Me is playing on the television.
Oh,
unless you're a girl, and yeah. It's Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes. But there's also a recent-ish music video that kind of summarizes the entire Pokemon franchise. And it very prominently features a fade in from Stand By Me to a Pokemon trainer. And then at the end, it goes back from the Pokemon trainers to Stand By Me.
That's funny. I have to ask. So we briefly touched on this. I think you had given your, I think it was last week's recording or maybe the week before that. I had kind of checked in with you to see where you were at on ZA and how you thought about it. And then I think we briefly mentioned the DLC that was upcoming that came out. And I've seen a lot of buzz online about it. I myself, of course, have not played ZA. I've heard a lot of negative feedback about the DLC.
I've only played 20 minutes, so I can't comment on that.
Okay, so I guess we'll stay tuned to get your real person thoughts, not just some person on the internet.
I will say I've ended up being really busy recently, probably because it's that time of year, yeah. December. And I have been unable to look at, I don't go into Phantom Spaces, but things kind of just find you.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not seen any feedback in regards to the DLC. So I'm completely, or rather, I was completely without any context until Alex just said that people are not liking it. But you know what? People don't like anything in this world. So why even bother?
So two things on that. One, again, I have not played it for myself. So I'm just taking what people are saying at face value as I scroll through posts or whatnot. Of course, I think also there's a slight amount of what happens with every single Pokemon game upon, like, first impressions. I think people, at least in recent years, have had a negative first reaction, like a knee-jerk reaction to it. But then later, a few years down the line, it's viewed in a different light. It's either become more neutral or even more positive. So I'm not sure what the ultimate consensus is going to be from people in a couple years after we've had some time to, like, digest it all and compare it to other entries in the series. I just know people are expressing some frustration over the mechanics of the game and how things work. But again, I don't have any context for what all that means because I have not played it.
I, meanwhile, do not give a shit what people say on the internet about non-important things like this. I was there back in ye olden days when Black and White were the most hated things in the entire world. How dare Pokemon Black and White exist as the way it did? And before I could blink, Pokemon Black and White was now considered to be the magnum opus of all of the Pokemon franchise. So, you know whose opinions I don't respect? People on the internet. That being said, you should leave 5 stars on our podcast right now. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, it really helps us out. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
It is funny you bring that up. People talk about Black and White all the time. And I feel like I've heard more buzz about Black and White just because I think they're the ones. They're the ones up next for remakes.
We're at that part in the nostalgia cycle, inevitably.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a topic that's come up more recently, I think, because people are kind of getting that hype and excitement. Like, okay, we had the Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl remakes, which weren't terrible, but definitely a departure from what I think people are used to in a remake. And the fact that it was Diamond and Pearl that were remade rather than Platinum was a little bit, not
great. I had a great old time.
It was a good game. I'm not saying, like, it wasn't good, but I think as far as remakes go, it could have been better, sure. But now we're at that point where it's like, oh, Black and White's the next thing on the agenda if they were going to do remakes. So could we have Black and White 2, which was different as well? Totally fun. I liked that concept, you know, doing a sequel.
Don't hold your breath. It's Pokemon. They always do crazy shit. It could be Sun and Moon remakes next year.
Oh,
we don't know.
God. Speaking of Sun and Moon, people hated Sun and Moon when it first came out.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I love Sun and Moon, actually. I always thought they were really good. I mean, when I say I love them, I wouldn't say they're my favorites of all time, but I like them. I thought they were fine. And then Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, of course, were fine as well. I think people were uncharacteristically harsh because they were like, oh my god, no gym battles, oh, trials.
Uncharacteristically harsh?
Well, maybe that's the wrong way to say it.
The people who are posting all their thoughts on the internet were uncharacteristically harsh.
Okay, I'll take that back. I retract that statement.
Thank you.
You know, I always like having this discussion. Maybe we've had this discussion before, but I think people like to hear, what is your favorite, like, gen?
Oh, it's still 4.
Yeah. Any?
I openly acknowledge
any
that.
Any specific reason why? Just
It
vibes.
Has the best legendaries? Like, it vibes. 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 That's it.
Vibes. Vibes. Got it. Yeah, that's how we're basing all of our opinions on.
I base all my opinions on everything ever on vibes, so what can I say?
Living on vibes. I just think, I don't want to say Gen 1, because I think that's a cop-out answer. It's always going to have a place for me, because it's Gen 1, it's the first game I played was Pokemon Red. But I would say, like, my favorite game overall, I'm thinking back through.
Scarlet and Violet.
Oh my god, how did you know? No. I want to say, not remakes, like, because I feel like that's a separate thing. I want to say maybe, like, Ruby and Sapphire or Emerald.
Yeah, we've been through this 7 million times.
People like to hear it. I think it's fun.
Okay.
More recently, I think I really love Sword and Shield. It's really fun.
Knock me down with a feather.
What is your, like, okay, Gen 4 is kind of old now. It is old now.
Okay, if we consider the franchise reboot to be XY.
Yes.
That means, the second half of this franchise.
Yeah.
That's XY, Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield, Scarlet Violet. What's mm-hmm. my favorite of those 4?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, none of them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Probably Sun and Moon of that group.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're up there.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what, if anything, we are going to get on Pokemon Day, if we're going to get an announcement.
But that's 2 months away. Let's focus on the now.
2 months is going to be here before you even know it.
Don't remind me of my aging. Don't remind me of that.
I'm sorry. I feel like just yesterday it was like Halloween. And we've gotten through that. It's been Thanksgiving and Christmas is in a couple weeks.
Every year this happens. It's the final sprint toward the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much stuff loaded all at one time. All right. Pokemon Megastar says, do you remember when I asked you who would be a good traveling companion for Hoenn? Well, their answer is Flannery would be a good twerp.
Oh.
It would require the twerp group to be changed, obviously. But I agree. I think Flannery has a lot of potential.
Okay. Are we considering Flannery in her current age, in her current iteration? Or are we aging her down a little bit? Because
I think we're aging her down just a little bit. I think we have to.
She's quite a bit older, I feel like.
Age her down to Brock's age. They've changed ages for anime characters before. Look at Serena.
True, they have. I definitely think it'd be really strange dynamic to have, like, okay, what are we assuming Flannery is now? Like, it's always so hard to tell, because Brock is what, like, 13 or 15?
15, allegedly.
Ash is 10, Brock's 15, Flannery would be what, 17, 18?
Yeah, I don't think she's that much older.
I don't think she, because, like, Jesse and James are supposed to be what, like, 21, 22?
I think they're a little older than that, as I feel like.
I don't know, it's so hard, again, with the anime characters and their ages.
Okay, so you're anti-Flannery twerp.
If she was younger, maybe, but I wonder what kind of dynamic that would be with Brock if they kept Brock.
Oh, I think we got to axe Brock.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get Brock out of there.
So the thing about it is he obviously doesn't like the younger people, which good, because that would be very weird. It's already weird. Don't get me wrong, but it would be very strange. But we've already established, like, Brock either A, isn't interested because they're younger, or B, he's not interested because he finds them to be unattractive. So how would that work? Because what would Flannery have to do to make her unattractive to Brock?
I think Brock has to stay at Pewter City, and Flannery's our new Brock character.
Yeah, I don't think they could coexist, honestly, at the same time. Which is sad, because I feel like... Yeah, I feel, oh no, I don't want to spiral into a whole conversation about, you know, the male gaze and all that. I don't want it to become a social commentary.
I mean, you love your soapbox. I don't know what you're talking about all of a sudden.
I don't want to go on a soapbox.
All right, Lisa Simpson. So, Pokemon Megastar continues. The reason they did not just burst into Flannery's gym is because last time they did that, it was Watson's gym, and they ended up on a death trap.
Oh, that is such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, because I was like, why are they standing there screaming at the building? But
they learned their lesson on that one.
They did. If they had PTSD from their hell tour that they had at that gym, I completely understand now.
Also, a fact, you had a question. Well, we had a question. When did gym leaders start switching their Pokemon
mid-battle? Yes.
Apparently, the answer is Generation 4.
Oh, okay, so I was kind of on the track, because I think I mentioned Cynthia when we talked about that. I don't know if it was her specifically as, like, the first one, or if the other gym leaders did it, but okay, that makes sense.
Okay, MVPs and LVPs for the Flannery episodes. First one is Flannery MVP. LVP is the Johto anime for not featuring Typhlosion at all.
Damn right.
MVP for the battle episode. MVP is Flannery's Torkoal for almost sweeping Ash. And the LVP is Treecko for being sent out as a sacrifice. Yeah. Treecko still has not had a really good showing. He's suffering.
I'm hoping that's going to change soon. Again, I'm not remembering the pacing 100% with how things play out in this anime, but I'm hoping that he gets something soon.
All right. For the next episode, Pokemon Megastar has never seen Gilmore Girls. Now, Alex, have you continued watching Gilmore Girls since I last saw you?
So, the answer is no. However, in my defense, the only reason I haven't is I wanted to watch some more episodes, but my boyfriend came over and he has never seen Gilmore Girls, and he didn't want to start watching it with me in the middle because he's like, I'll be lost. So I was like, okay, I'll do it on my own time.
No, he will not. It's old school TV. He's able to watch any episode of anything.
I thought it was silly. However, I'm respecting his preferences and not wanting to do that at that moment. So it's like, okay, we'll do something else. We won't watch this.
What did you watch instead?
Oh, we were watching Scavenger's Reign together, I think, at that point.
What the fuck is that?
It was a sci-fi kind of animated TV series that was canceled after one season. It was really good, though. I really enjoyed it.
I've never heard of such in my life.
Go ahead. Look it up. It's really good. Scavenger's Reign. I think it was on HBO.
Okay.
Anyway, then I went on a work trip. I was away for a week-ish.
It was a hard week for me, you guys.
Yeah. I know, not having me around.
I was so bored without Alex. I put up Christmas decorations. That's how bored I was.
Honestly, you guys, I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's a big thing for Austin. He was motivated to do that. I'm proud of you. I'm glad. I like the little tree. It's cute.
Yeah, I kind of half-assed it, but whatever.
It's better than nothing, in my opinion. It's the spirit of things, right?
Do you have a tree?
No, I don't. No. I do have little decorations out, though.
I guess I'm more in the Christmas spirit than you are.
You must have been. I have, like, a little Santa and some snowman decorations and little present decorations, but I don't have a tree. So, yeah, back to your original question. I haven't watched or haven't resumed my watch of Gilmore Girls, but I do want to do that. I don't want to fall off. I really don't.
At least wait till season 7 before you fall off. But by that point, you're going to be so invested in how crazy it gets that you'll be like, what the fuck?
I gotta see how frustrated I am. Because I know you've explained it to me, like two of the characters. Will they or won't they? And I feel like I have to see it through to the end.
Yeah, everyone who's seen Gilmore Girls know exactly which characters are the will they or won't they character.
And by the way you describe it, it's one of the most frustrating things in all of TV. So it's almost, it's a joke.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah. So, continuing on. For our appeals round competition, Pokio Megastar actually agrees with Alex that Austin's double round pushes me to the lead.
I said that. I told you.
Yeah, but I think they are implying that your single appeal was better than my single appeal.
I knew it. Austin is more creative and better in every way.
Oh, boy. I was coming up with that shit on the spot.
Exactly to my point.
Okay, here's a question specifically for me, but I'm going to let you answer it too, Alex.
Okay.
What was your favorite Mega Evolution before and after the DLC? Okay, so I think that means of the new group of Megas.
So that's probably why Pokemon Megastar is asking just you, because they know that you've played it and I haven't.
But you've seen the Mega Evolutions, right? I have not seen the new DLC ones.
I would have to be reminded of that. Okay,
is there a way I can find a list that doesn't feature the new ones?
Are we just doing base ZA Mega?
I think we're doing just the ZA ones. Oh, no, I can't find a list. There's spoilers here. Okay, I'm just going to go off vibes.
Well, maybe, okay, spoiler alert right now. Mute us or skip ahead if you don't want to know the Megas.
Yeah, of the new Megas, damn, nothing's coming to mind.
I need a list. Honestly, I can't remember.
I need a list, too. I can't find a good one. IGN's freezing up on me.
Serebii doesn't have a list?
No, Serebii has a list, but they're all mixed in together. Oh, here's a spoiler. Shit, I can't look. Oh, we can't answer this right now, because everything I looked at has spoilers, including a story one, so I'm done looking.
Okay, sorry. Sorry to that. I don't think we can answer it at the moment.
Yeah, we'll come back to you on that.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's table that one for now and circle back in maybe a couple weeks. But good question. Great question.
MVP for the Heartbreak Spinda episode. The Heartbreak Spinda gets the MVP.
Oh.
Because they love it and Brock should have caught it. The LVP is Claire, because she keeps calling it her Spinda, even though it's actually her fiance's. And she keeps calling her fiance her acquaintance. Yeah, that is kind of wild behavior, isn't it? For the second episode, what even was the second episode? I can't remember anymore. What was the last episode we did?
Going for a Spinda?
Not that one.
Going Yawn.
Oh.
The Macargo.
No, not that one. Oh. No. Not that one either.
Wait. All Play and No Torkoal?
All Play and No Torkoal. Oh, yes, that was it. The MVP for that episode is Torchic for actually being useful. LVP is also Torchic for May not loving it.
Oh.
All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Well, thank you so much for the feedback.
You got anything for us?
I don't. I think that's about it. It's been kind of a low-key sort of week, so...
It's been a low-key sort of week, but there's always a Thursday.
There's always a Thursday. What's on a Thursday? Get it?
You get it?
No, I don't. Oh, no.
Audience, tell me if you got the joke. It's been a low-key kind of week, but there's always a Thursday.
Oh my God. Oh, hey. I do have one thing. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Okay.
I know you were so unimpressed, but I was impressed. I don't know about you guys, but if any of you all watched the Game Awards, they had some announcements.
Yeah, we probably should have watched those trailers for our pre-record, but I forgot.
Yeah. So I'm bringing it up now.
We took a test that figured out if we were ugly or not, just FYI.
That's in our pre-recording, so go check that out.
Yes, we did.
If you want to know the results, we're not going to spoil it. So, yeah, the Game Awards, I didn't watch the entirety of the thing, but I watched the highlights, of course. I'm very interested in Expedition 33. That did very well. A lot of people are talking about how great it was. I'm not a big JRPG-style gamer, but people say it's fantastic. I may give it a try at some point. But as far as new game announcements, Austin, I know you had said there was a couple that stood out to you. Which ones were those again?
I didn't watch any of the trailers. The only one I watched was the one that you sent me.
And you completely did not care for that.
I did not care for that at all. That was not for me.
So, I think you had mentioned there was Yakuza game? What else?
I just saw some IP announcements. Like, there's a new Star Wars Old Republic.
You'll never see that. You'll never see that.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry to any Star Wars fans.
This is why I don't pay attention to these things. I wait till things are actually released.
I concur. I think that a lot of game developers make the mistake of announcing their games way too early. I think most developers need to go the way that Bethesda did this past summer with the Oblivion remaster. Basically announce it the day before and then shadow drop it. Surprise, here it is. I don't want to wait 5+ years for a game to come out. There was one trailer that really interested me. Austin was not impressed. Nope. But I was like, oh my god, this is so gross. Spoiler alert, you know, if you're over 18, because this is adult audiences only.
My pussy.
My pussy died. Divinity. I was kind of shocked and blown away by that trailer because I'm easily impressed. Austin, not so much. He's like,
it's nude. Just called Divinity?
Yeah. He's like, first time to body horror? I'm like, no.
See, I've never been into horror games.
I don't think this is a horror game.
Is it not? What is it? I couldn't tell you what it is, so I don't care.
Okay, is there any Divinity fans, Divinity Original Sin fans out there? I am not...
Wait, is this a pre-existing IP?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even heard of it.
I am not familiar, and I will just preface this by apologizing to people who are a fan of the series. I know nothing about it. I really don't. Larian is the developer. They are the ones, the studios that did Baldur's Gate 3. So they've been in the spotlight recently with that. That game was wildly popular. I never played Divinity Original Sin, and I've never played Divinity Original Sin 2 or any of the others. I think there's like 5 in the franchise. But no, so this, I guess, I don't know if you want to consider it a reboot or something, but I saw that trailer. I was very intrigued. I wonder what the gameplay is going to be like. It was not gameplay. It was just a cinematic trailer, but I was very interested, and Austin was less than impressed, so...
I love how you say this is a very popular game, and I've never heard of any of these games in my entire life. I'm so out of the loop.
You don't really do RPGs, though.
I don't do with anything that's not Nintendo crap.
So that's why you don't know.
Yep, I know.
And that's okay. That is completely okay.
You recently described me as a cozy gamer.
You are a cozy gamer.
I know
I am. That's not a bad thing.
I know I am.
People like what they like. You should play what you want to play. Time is limited. We get it. You know, you don't...
I'm just cozy. Cozy up with the blanket.
Cozy, good vibe type of
thing. I would turn on the fireplace if my fireplace wasn't broken.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But yeah, no, I'm interested to see that. Guys, if you watched the Game Awards and you saw any of the announcement trailers, which ones were interesting to you? Any games coming out recently or coming up soon that you're interested in? Just interested to hear. All right, that's it. That was all my talking points that I wanted to mention, chat about.
I've never once watched the Game Awards.
Well, since E3 is like dead now.
That's true.
It's kind of like the only thing. We're good to go. Jump right into this. Our tongues are certainly not got, but Delcaddy's is. Ayo.
Is that the first episode?
That's the second one. I went backwards. What's
the first episode?
I went backwards. What are the two episodes we're talking about?
I don't know. Manectric Charge and Delcaddy Got Your Tongue.
All right. Maybe I was a little bit premature with that got your tongue thing. What did you think of these episodes?
I feel like we've seen both of these episodes before, and yet here we are rerunning.
That is such an interesting point. I had the same feeling.
Yeah, we've already seen Watson and Watt, whoever the hell he is. We've already seen May take Skitty to a holistic healing scam artist place run by one lady. We've already seen these episodes before. This is weird.
Okay, good point. I'd forgotten about the aromatherapy place that they had gone to before.
It was like beat for beat, the same.
Oh, wow. No wonder it felt familiar. I was also thinking of the, was it Chronicles with the Delcaddy and Misty?
We saw Giorgio in his Delcaddy, briefly.
Giorgio the stalker boy.
Yes, Giorgio the stalker boy, who Casey conned out of his tickets to the Electabuzz baseball
game. Yes.
Love that for her.
Yeah, do love that for her. So I guess to your points, these are very samey. No wonder they felt pretty boring. Sorry to say that, but yeah. Yep.
Ugh. Things need to pick up. I think they're going to pick up next week. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, we'll get there when we get there, but in the meantime...
We got to get through this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which of the two episodes did you prefer?
Oh, gosh. I am going to say the Delcatty one.
I'm going to say the Manetric one.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's flip the coin, and we'll discuss more in detail.
Sure.
Let's try again. You are doing the flash challenge for Manetric charge, and I'm doing the walkthrough.
Oh, good. How appropriate.
If I say it enough times, I'll remember the terminology.
Flash challenge. No, but this is good because your preference was for this episode and vice versa for me. So, All right. I watched this a day and a half ago, so it's not as fresh in mind as it normally is for me.
I watched it 48 hours ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to do my best.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, we're back in Mauville. Ash has got the Ash swagger. He's calling the shots. They want to go get some food, but before they can do that, they have to go to the carnival. There's a carnival. It's Jesse and James and Meowth's, I don't know. It's their scams, and we get all of our Pokemon captured. Watson and Watt show back up. Electrike evolves because he needs to steal the spotlight. And Ash loses his rematch to Time. Watson.
All right. So as you said, we're back in Mauville. We see new Mauville out in the ocean. That's a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, we spot an abandoned fairground in a public park that has attracted no people.
I have
in the middle of the day.
So many questions.
This is like out of a horror something or another.
It's like my story. My short story.
Except you don't take a shuttle to it.
But it was like a abandoned fairground thing. Oh my god.
Yes, it was. Well, this was a lot more smaller scale than I was imagining for your story.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a whole circus tent.
Yeah. No, that was the case for mine, but this is so weird. Where is everyone?
Where are the people? I guess they're all in school at work.
Not a single person is passing by. Not a single
person. Oh. Well, the only four people passing by are the twerps.
Of course.
And it just so happens the only two people working this small-scale fair that did not have a public apartment, I'm sure, are Jesse and James. And they are wearing Gengar and Tauros costumes.
Oh, is it because... Oh, no. No, what am I thinking? Sorry, I was thinking Nidorino. I was like, oh, Gengar and Nidorino from the opening of
Red and Blue. Oh.
But no, Tauros, sorry. My mistake.
I actually have a theory about this.
Gengar and Nidorino. Like, why did they pick those?
Kind of.
Okay, I have a question while you're looking that up.
I was right. I was completely right.
Oh, okay. I'll save my question then.
Okay. These costumes we've seen before.
Have we?
Let me go. I sent you a picture.
What the?
That was from the Pinkin Island episode where Team Rocket wanted to catch all the pink Pokemon.
Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
I can't believe I remembered that. I cannot believe I remember that. But this time they're wearing color-appropriate costumes with a purple Gengar and the brown Tauros.
What was the context of them in these costumes the first time?
I do not remember.
But you remember that they dressed up in those costumes. Yes. That's wild.
I knew they looked familiar. I knew that.
Okay, so my question was going to be, did Nikolai the Knickerbocker Kid make these costumes for them? But considering that Pinkin Island was well before that, I'm going to say no.
Before Nikolai was unleashed upon the masses.
So this must have been a Bill thing then, because Bill also is a cosplayer.
Oh, definitely. They got these from Bill. And now they've recolored them. They've, like, dyed the wool.
Jeez. Wow, the fact that you remember that. All right.
It hit me all of a sudden where I've seen these before.
Great callback.
I have approximate knowledge of many things.
Approximate. Great.
That's my Adventure Time. So we all the twerps are like, oh my god, a fair. Let's waste our time and go here. And they let out all their Pokemon, which was nice. This is all to set up the fact that we have a new teammate, Torkoal, who we all get to introduce ourselves to. So Torkoal happily cries and blows coal all over everyone.
Gotta love it.
Team Rocket are not satisfied with this Torkoal. They do not want it. But they're going to catch it later anyway. So we see, this is why I like this episode. It was just kind of like a little slice of life montage of everyone playing carnival games. Brock got really into kicking a soccer ball for some reason. Torkoal also tries to kick the Sarko ball, but he falls over on his back.
That's so sad.
But he tried. You can't say he doesn't try. So, of course, this doesn't last very long because Team Rocket had to reveal themselves as Team Rocket. And shit's really boring because we get a whole montage of all the Pokemon trying to break out of the balloon net. And it doesn't go anywhere until Watt and Watson run upon the scene. Because I guess they heard about the carnival and they needed to go check it out. I don't know.
Were they on their way to the carnival? Were they having a date?
Why else were they there? We still don't know the nature of their relationship. Are they father and son? Are they boyfriends? Or what is going on?
Does it say something about me that my immediate thought was that they...
They're in love.
They're in a romantic relationship. Does that say something about me personally? I don't know. Is this like a younger man, older man trope? Like, what's going on?
It's going to get weirder with Watt in just a second. Just you wait.
Okay, God.
Okay, so Watt and Watson, whoever they are and whatever their relationship is to one another, have happened upon this site. Maybe they saw the Meowth balloon, I don't know. And they save the day with Watson's Electrike, which is still super cute, and Watt's Ampharos, which I guess we haven't seen in a hot minute, so that's nice. Was it my imagination, or did the Electrike no longer have the distorted voice effect?
I was trying to recall back to the first episode in which we see it, and I think you may be right, but I honestly wasn't paying that close of attention. Oh my God.
I wasn't either.
My life.
What just happened?
My life.
What just happened?
Oh my God. Hold on. My automatic light, my light, desk light is on a timer, and it went off. Hold on. There we go. Sorry about that.
That was terrifying.
Darkness.
I thought, like, you lost power or something. And I was like, wait, how do you still have Wi-Fi then?
No. The desk light over here is on a timer.
Let me watch the episode and see. Hold on.
Oh, are you... For science, are you going back? What?
What?
What? Brock. What? Which episode are you watching? This one that we just watched?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're just glad to see you're all safe.
Ew, listen to Watt.
We're just glad to see you're all safe. Ampharos.
First one I've seen. Ampharos.
Okay, skipping.
Electric.
Okay, I don't know if you heard that, but they totally got rid of the buzzy electric sound effect. Yeah,
it doesn't have the distortion.
No, that's a shame. Anyway, so they all arrive, and as you heard in the clip, Electrike starts to evolve, which is too bad because I like Electrike.
Can I just mention something about this scene?
Yeah.
So I love, love, love how they're oohing and aahing over Ampharos, right? Because in the clip you just played, they had the Dextet Pokedex entry read or whatever. And they're like, oh my God, Ampharos is so great. Ooh, ooh. And then a few beats later, like outside of battle, Electrike then decides that it's gonna evolve because I want to imagine that it's an attention whore and it can't stand the fact that everybody's like, oh, Ampharos, you're so cute. And so it's like, I'm gonna evolve out of spite. And then it fucking evolves.
That is an interesting interpretation of that scene. I love it.
Why else would it evolve like that? It was so weird. Weird timing.
Oh my God, why is my face hurting from laughing so much at that? I'm like smiling too hard.
I just wanted to call it out because I think this Electrike is kind of a diva. I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to stand for this.
It needs the attention right now, so it's going to evolve into a Manectric. And that way we can guarantee it will have its name in the episode title.
Exactly. Manectric
Charge!
Could you imagine Electrike Charge? It doesn't have the same ring. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the Electrike Company, which is a later episode in Diamond and Pearl.
Really?
I think. I could be making that up.
Oh, God. Stay tuned. Diamond and Pearl is really great.
More Electrike to come.
Perfect.
Sadly, Electrike does not last very long because it's a narcissist and needs all attention on it at all times. And so it evolves into a Manectric, which I still like. It still has a good design. Isn't that great?
It's fantastic.
So Ash is like, oh, my God, I have an idea. Since I totally cheated in our last battle, Watson, how about we do your newly evolved Manectric against my newly caught Torkoal? That sounds great. Then Watt, I think, got very suspicious because he turns to May and says, "May, tell me about your skitty."
Why?
And he really wants to know all there is to know about May and her contest and her skitty. And he's just taking an interest in her all of a sudden. And he really wants to battle her.
But why?
I don't know why. Why do I find that weird?
Why do you find that weird?
Because it's inexplicable. Why is he suddenly so attached to May? He's like, "Oh my god, I have to talk to May. Everyone, move aside. May? Hi, I'm Watt. Remember me? May, tell me how your contests are going. May."
Everybody's obsessed.
It's weird. It is. Trainers!
Oh god, I wasn't prepared. Trainer choice, okay, jump scare.
Yep, okay, what were we gonna say?
No, it's strange. It is just, it's really strange. So, no explanation.
Why is an enigma? I don't like him.
He's weird. Yeah, he's got a off-putting vibe. Something's going on.
All right, trainers, since Manectric needs to have all the attention on it at all times, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Manectric?
Oh, God.
Swampert, Larvitar, or Torkoal?
Oh, jeez. Okay. Let's go Pokemon by Pokemon. Swampert?
You're not going to like this one.
I know. Jeez. Here we go. I know I'm going to be wrong. Swampert is a water and ground type.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Larvitar is a...
Rock.
Rock and...
Rock.
Rock only. Rock only?
No, I could be wrong. Let's actually look it up.
Don't do this to me. I've been wrong before.
It's a rock ground type.
Rock ground type. Okay.
Okay.
And then what was the third option? Torkoal. Ah, oh, that's cute. Fire type. Okay. Manectric is pure electric, correct?
Correct.
So, I am going to say Larvitar.
Trainers.
Although I'm sure that's wrong.
Trainers.
Oh.
If you chose Larvitar, you were right.
Oh, but I feel there's a big but.
Is there a but coming?
There is a but. I know there's a but.
I think it's a wrong answer. I think Swampert and Larvitar are both the right answer because they're both ground types and are immune to electric type moves.
Yeah, but where does the water typing come in? Does it at all?
It doesn't. It's neutralized.
I'm going to show my complete dumbness when it comes to type matchups. And again, you may be like, you have no business being a Pokemon podcaster if you don't know this. But I'm just going to say it. I'm going to embarrass myself. Type matchups are not my thing. If Swampert is part ground type,
it is completely immune to electric type moves.
So the water typing does nothing. If it has a ground typing, it becomes completely immune regardless. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. But as far as, like, super effectiveness, 4x damage.
Rock and electric have no relationship.
So rock has nothing to do with electric attacks?
Yes.
Why do I always think it does?
Because the anime told you it did and they were lying to you.
Oh, I'm such an impressionable one. Okay, so by that logic, if we're not wrong, then both Swampert and Larvitar are a good choice.
Correct. Now, if anyone has any objections to that, tell us, and in 3 weeks when we've forgotten all about this, we will try and figure it out.
Okay. You know what? At least it's not entirely wrong, because Larvitar would be an okay choice regardless of whether or not Swampert also is a good choice, so...
Alright, let's move on. The twerps have forgotten their lesson from the previous time, and now they are going to go through the front door of the gym again.
Oh, good.
Okay. But they're with Watt and Watson this time, and Watt and Watson are like, "Silly children, we're not like Jigsaw. We don't want to watch you suffer in our torture devices when we've already met you. Come with us, and we'll go straight to the battlefield." So the twerps are able to circumvent that this time, but Team Rocket's not. Team Rocket, instead of trying to dig under the gym like they usually do, just walk into the front door, and through the rest of the episode, we get random cutaways to Team Rocket suffering through Watson's torture devices that he has set up.
The Raikou make a return.
Yes, the Raikou make a return, and even Team Rocket notes that this is very repetitive because they once again think it's real Raikou and discover it's a robot Raikou, and they're like, "Oh, darn. We've already been in this episode before, but here we are again."
You know, of all people who should be able to recognize a robotic something or other. They should be the ones, considering they use the mechas all the time.
You would think so, but they're not. All right, so I'm kind of done with them now.
Okay, goodbye.
On to the battles. Watt is so eager to battle May and her Skitty that he has Ampharos attack, and it looks like Skitty's out of commission completely, like within seconds. But never mind, Skitty changed her mind, and Skitty uses assist, uses a quick attack, and then wins. Hooray!
That was shocking, and no pun intended, but really, I was not expecting her to win. That's crazy.
That was a waste of our time, but I guess we're still promoting Skitty for some reason. So Watt is pleased that he got to have his moment in the spotlight, I guess. And now it's time for Watson versus Ash. Unfortunately, Torkoal has magnet sickness, and that means it has super powerful moves that are able to kill any Pokemon with one shot, and Ash sweeps the battle. Just kidding, that doesn't happen this time.
Oh, darn.
Torkoal does not have magnet sickness. Instead, it battles Demonectric, and Ash is not very smart, and he spams overheat over and over and over again. Even May, Brock, and Max are like, that doesn't seem very smart, and they are proven correct when Magnetric is able to beat Torkoal. That was not Ash's best showing. I guess May got all the luck today.
Yeah, a couple things, you know, I want to just mention. I thought it was an interesting detail that when overheat was used multiple times, it visibly became less and less of a larger, like, beam. It was, like, smaller and smaller every time, so that was interesting.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. And also, I was considering the fact that I know this was a one-on-one versus, like, a more traditional gym battle with, like, three Pokemon or whatever, but if Ash had performed like this, like, as a normal, his normal abilities without Pikachu being overpowered, OP, whatever you want to say, he would have lost. He wouldn't have gotten the badge.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't know. He wasn't doing so well.
They're both using Pokemon they didn't have when they had their gym match.
I know, but if that had occurred at this point, he would have lost.
Okay, fair.
So, he got lucky with that Dynamo badge.
He did get lucky with the Dynamo badge.
He's lucky that Watson is, like, so jovial and, you know, likes them personally, because I don't necessarily think he would have gotten the badge otherwise. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's all over and done with. And so now sunset, and Watt is still weirdly obsessed with May. And he's like, May, there's a Pokemon contest happening in Verdanturf Town. That should be your next stop. And they're all like, great. Sounds like a plan. Bye. And they continue on their journey as Watt continues to watch May from the bushes. The end.
Very weird. How does he even know that there's a contest?
What is Watt's deal? Are we sure Watt didn't set up the carnival for May?
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to believe that he had any hand in that. It's very strange.
I don't like Watt.
I don't either. Is this the last time we see Watt?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Is this the last time we see Watson?
Pretty sure.
Okay. Well,
watch me be wrong. Watch me be completely wrong.
If they pop up again, I'll be surprised, but
I think we have to go through Mauville again to get to Fortree City.
Oh my god, how we'll many see. Times we need to go through Mauville? Oh my god. I'm sorry. It's fine of the first couple times, but, you know, I know in the game, Mauville is like the one town that connects the right half of Hoenn to the left half, pretty much, but still, enough's enough.
It's a north, south, east, west connector point.
It is. It is. Ugh, God. Okay. Well, yeah. That's it. All right. Interesting. Good. Great. Great that we had a part two of that. That was great.
Redemption for Watson, I guess. But not Watt. Watt's creepy.
Yeah. Watson got his win, so I guess he can find purpose again. That's nice.
Let's flip the coin so we don't have to go back to Mauville yet again.
Oh, gosh.
You're going first.
Okay, my MVP, I guess May, just because.
She got a win.
Yeah, she won against Watt, and I don't really have anyone better to give it to, so May it is. My LVP, I know the obvious answer is Watt, of course, but you know what, actually, can I change my answer?
You always ask permission, or you ask for forgiveness sometimes.
I'm going to give my MVP to the Dexnav.
Oh!
Because the Dexnav makes a return.
Okay, so just the Pokénav?
Yeah, Dexnav. I'm thinking of Oras. I'm so sorry. The Pokénav, yes.
Okay, great.
It makes a return at the end. You didn't mention it. Max has it out, and he's like, oh, here's the route to Verdanturf that we can take.
Oh, thank God. We're done with that Valiaseal detour bullshit.
I don't know why the Dexnav... I did it again. I don't know why the Pokénav has not made an appearance up until this point, but it's back, so I wanted to specifically call that out, and I almost forgot. So there you go. My LVP is going to be Electrike / Manectric.
Oh!
Because I think it's an attention stealer. I think it is a complete narcissist. Yeah, first of all, we didn't see a whole lot of Electrike, so, you know, point deduction there. And then, of course, it evolves because it can't stand the spotlight on Ampharos. I just think it's a little bit of a snob. Kind of got that vibe from it, so... My quote is... Oh my gosh. Okay, I know I'm completely overthinking this and completely putting a spin on this that is not probably intended. Or maybe... Maybe it is. I don't know. It's hard to tell with four kids sometimes. Who knows?
Okay.
This is when they are at the carnival and Team Rocket has trapped all of the Twerp Pokemon in their booby trap, carnival booby traps, and they're getting away and they have shed the costumes, the Tauros and the Gengar costumes. And Jesse says, well, this just keeps getting better. With the exception of this costume. And James says, mine's kind of grown on me, actually. And Meowth pops up and says, because being furry is fun now. We gotta run.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they meant.
Being furry is fun. They were wearing the costumes.
I don't think that's what they meant.
I know, but it's so funny when you think of it like that.
I don't
think
furry culture... Maybe furry culture was mainstream at that point. I don't know.
This is me being a goober. I'm sure it's probably not, but I think if you spin it that way, it's funny.
Okay. Right. Can I just say, I looked up Dexnav, and I found the Pokénav Plus from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Mm.
And even though I think the Pokénav is kind of ugly and inconvenient... The Pokénav Plus just takes all the character out of it.
Really?
Have you seen the Pokénav Plus recently?
No.
Google it.
Okay.
It's just a Game Boy Advance SP.
Wait, is this a real thing?
This is what the Pokénav looks like in Oras, Generation 6.
Oh! It is a Game Boy SP.
Don't you think that's not as fun as the original Pokénav?
Okay, so the original Pokénav you're thinking of is that oval-shaped thing, right?
Yeah, the thing that Max carries around.
You know what? Honestly, I'm sorry. I can't agree with you on this. I don't like the original. I think the oval shape is inefficient. I think, how does that comfortably fit in a pocket? It doesn't. And then you've got the Game Boy SP, which was honestly one of my favorite Nintendo handheld consoles. I just have such fond memories as a kid.
It was the era of flip phones. That was the time.
It was, but also, it was an upgrade from the Wurmlite technology of the Stone Age that we had to plug in the Wurmlite to the side of your Game Boy Color so you could see the screen, and this one had a backlight, which was revolutionary, mind-blowing. For all of you youngsters out there who don't know what we're talking about, this was absolutely great.
I just think the Pokénav Plus lacks character.
I disagree. I think it's a simplistic yet efficient design. It's cute. It folds over. It's a square. It fits right in your pocket. It's perfect. Peak design. I disagree.
We have a fan, and her name is Alex.
I am the fan.
My MVP. I'm going to give it to Skitty, weirdly enough.
Okay. Ooh.
It wasn't weird. It wasn't annoying. And I have to always notate improvement. So Skitty gets my MVP, and it beat that Ampharos pretty easily. That was interesting. My LVP, as much as I think Ash deserves it for spamming overheat like that, it's got to go to Watt. Because Watt is inexplicable and creepy.
He's got annoying sidekick vibes.
Yeah, I don't know why he had so much focus in this episode, but it's better now that he's dead.
Oh!
Now my quote is from Team Rocket. Like, clones from Team Rocket, when they're on the carnival ride, or the gym leader, or the gym torture device ride, or whatever. Meow says, open. Jesse says who? Meow says, open says me.
Oh, that was cute.
Silly, time filler, whatever. I liked it.
Oh, can I just also mention the thing that Brock says?
What does Brock say?
So Ash is having a little pout when May has her battle with Watt first. And so Ash is having a little pout, and so he goes, how come May gets to have her battle first anyway? And Brock says, ladies first. You could try being a gentleman at least once, Ash. I thought that was a good call out.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, because he's like, you could try to be a gentleman at least once and not be so selfish.
You like that Brock was putting Ash in his place.
Yeah. Got it. Although, actually, honorary LVP to Max for stroking Ash's ego in that moment, because I think he mentioned something like, well, they always save the main event for last anyway, Ash. And that makes Ash all smug, and he's like, oh, yeah.
Lots of LVPs.
Come on, Max. Come on. Usually he's so good. Anyway. All right. There we go.
Del Caddy got your tongue.
Austin, does this flash challenge have your tongue?
Possibly.
We're going to find out in 3, 2, 1, go.
So the twerps all go to a Pokemon apothecary where there is a girl there with green hair and she's really big on aromatherapy. And May brings her Skitty in there because Skitty is hurt and needs some treatment. And so this girl does some bogus medical treatments that would not stand up to any scientific research, I'm sure. Then Team Rocket gets involved and they beat Team Rocket. And Skitty is there and May catches Skitty. Oh, wait, I mean to say that it learns Blizzard.
Oh, my God. For a second, I was like, yeah, I was like nodding along to the summary because the main character of the day here also has like greenish hair. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is sounding pretty good. And then I realized what the hell you were doing. And I was like, oh, that was the last episode. Guys, this episode is so similar.
It was weird. It was like they found the script and they were like, let's just use this again.
Did they change all
the names? Control F.
Yeah, it's so strange. Did they all collectively forget that they wrote that episode before, not too long ago? Like, what? Seriously, what?
Was there like a gaffe and they like had too few episodes? And they were like, shit, put one in there.
Anyway, I guess this is like a fever dream. We're going to have to go through this again, pretty much beat by beat. So it does start out a little different. This one, we got Team Rocket. They waste no time today because they are disguised as construction workers filling in a ditch in the middle of the road. And they're like, you know, please go around right this way, step this way. They direct the twerps right into a pitfall trap. Oh, Team Rocket, never change. I don't really think I caught how they got out of the hole.
James uses a butterfly net to grab Pikachu, but they all just grab the net and come back up.
Okay, holy defying physics. I didn't even catch that. Okay.
I wish it was Handy Andy, but sadly it was not.
Okay, regardless, they all jump out of the hole, so that was useless. Ash challenges them with Torkoal. However, May, like the one time she decides to step in and like help, it's disastrous. Skitty ends up in a comedy of errors, ends up in the back of, in, oh God. It ends up in Torkoal's hole. It gets stuck in Torkoal's hole. It's shell
something,
hole.
Something, something, pussy, something, something hole. Something,
got it. Did we mention we're E for explicit? Anyway. So Skitty ends up with the black lung because while it was stuck in the hole, it got a big, giant face full of ash and soot. So it's lost its voice. Very sad.
Oh no, we better give it a massage.
Better go and give it a massage. So they're like, where is the nearest Pokemon Center? So again, the Pokenav makes a return. And Max is like, oh, well, we could go on to Verdanturf, but looks like there's some kind of Pokemon Center in Foothill Town.
Good name. Like that.
Yeah, I do like that. We don't, unfortunately, I'll just say it now, we don't see much, if at all any, of Foothill Town. So I don't know why they bothered to name it. because we don't really see it. So they get into town and they're like, well, where's the Pokemon Center? And quickly realize after they ask a passing lady that there is no Pokemon Center here, but they do have a health clinic, like a smaller operation. No Nurse Joy, but they have a clinic of sorts.
You would think the PokéNav would say there's not a Pokemon Center in Foothill Town.
Is this like a Google Maps or something situation where like a business has recently gone under and it's like not updated yet or something, and so you go and you're like, where's the Taco Bell? There's supposed to be a Taco Bell here and it's not there anymore, whatever, I don't know.
It's the unmarked Taco Bell near my apartment. Yes! Or condo is that one.
Well, no, you can't say that anymore because they now have a logo on it, so.
But it's still impossible to get in and out of that little Taco Bell parking lot. Anyway.
It's really, you take your life in your own hands when you're trying to go there. We come upon the clinic and we hear a voice from within who, it sounds like a feminine voice, and Brock simply cannot contain himself over the prospect of like a female doctor being inside of this place, and he's like practically having an attack, to put it nicely.
Yeah, I saw that look on your face as you said that.
I did. I was gonna say something more crass, but then no,
I know what you were gonna say.
I thought better of it, even though we say worse on this podcast sometimes. So yeah, then we have an unfortunate fat person joke that I really wish that they wouldn't have done because it was kind of like, I guess we're in that time. I don't know.
We are still in this time.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Okay, so the joke is Brock hears a beautiful girl, and they turn the corner, and there's a fat lady who walks by, and all the twerps go, ew, that lady's fat. Gross. Shove her full of Ozempic now.
She would also fail the pretty privileged test.
So, yeah, that was not a good joke. That should not have been in there, and the dub should have cut it. But they did not.
They cut other stuff, and I'm really surprised they didn't do that, because obviously the implication is the twerps think that this is the doctor, and they're horrified at the prospect of having to interact with a gross fat person.
A fat person.
God forbid. But no. Fortunately for the twerps, they're saved the horror and shame of having to interact with this woman, because, as we quickly find out, the voice was from Dr. Abby, who is a beautiful and skinny woman. So,
whew, thank God.
Thank God.
Whew, my God.
I know.
I only trust skinny doctors.
I know, of course.
And this doctor I trust more than any other doctor because she doesn't believe in modern science.
Because, yeah, exactly. And she's beautiful and she's very alternative medicine. So no better combination.
RFK Jr. approved.
Don't cancel us. So Dr. Abby, this is this lady. She is a practitioner of natural Pokemon medicine. I guess acupuncture? Massage? I don't know what you want to call it.
It seemed like it was just massage of pressure points.
Pressure points.
Which is real.
Sure.
That's a real thing.
Sure. But very reminiscent of the aromatherapy thing we had recently. So they're like, can you help us? Can you help our Skitty regain its voice by giving it a back massage? And she's like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, this is where I call bullshit. Because Dr. Abby says she believes natural remedies and massage can cure just about anything. And Brock's like, yeah, me too. I believe that too.
Brock!
Alarms me.
Does alarm me. And I feel like this is not the typical Brock mentality. Because Brock, as we know, is not opposed to using medicine, like potions and other types of like proven science. Not that this isn't, you know, working, but...
But I don't think massage is going to help with the fact that it has soot-covered lungs.
Yeah, I think it needs, like, it does need some oxygen therapy. It needs some kind of, like, I guess that's really the only way you can, like, de-sootify your lungs, but...
Well, if you're in a fire, that's what they do.
Yeah. So, anyway, she gives Skitty a massage and says it should be, it helps a little. She said it should be back to normal in at least a day or so. So just go easy and it should be fine. Great.
That'll be $7,000.
Cries an American. Depressing healthcare conversation aside, we've moved on from that. This isn't really the focus of the episode, honestly. It's Ash. Ash sees a framed picture on a desk because he's being nosy.
What was up with him today?
I don't know. He's so weird. He's like in her stuff. He's like wandered off and he's like over at her like personal private desk.
he's like pulling open drawers and shit and being like, let's see what her medical degree. Maybe he was with us.
Maybe.
And he did not believe a word this woman was saying. It was like, I'm going to figure out what's really going on here. I don't trust this.
Oh,
or the dam.
No, but see, that requires the belief that Ash can read. And I'm not sure he can read.
He can't read those like nonsense splotches that are language in the Pokemon anime.
No, sadly not. So he sees this framed picture of Dr. Abby with a skitty and a big old shiny trophy. So they all wander over to, you know, also poke their noses into stuff. And May realizes that that is a ribbon cup. And apparently this is an award that is presented to winners of the Grand Festival. Not only does she have a background in contests, but she is a contest, you know, Grand Festival champion. And this is, again, we have another Valley of Steel moment where May is like, oh my god, duh, you are the famous Dr. Abby contest extraordinaire prodigy, total celebrity. How did I not realize that that's you?
She has a magazine with a featured article of Dr. Abby.
I don't know where she pulls this out from, but she just whips out a magazine, yes, Coordinator Monthly, that she apparently carries on her person at all times.
God knows what's in that fanny pack. It could be anything.
Anything.
Never forget when Brock pulled out, like, huge hardcover books out of his bag.
He had, like, a whole camping set in there. Tables, true, pans, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, Abby is the dark horse prodigy that came out of nowhere once upon a time and won, basically swept the contest and the Grand Festival and got like perfect scores. She's like absolutely perfect. So we get the story from Abby herself and she's like, yes, in the day I was a coordinator at the Grand Festival and I got a perfect score and I was so perfect and wonderful.
From the shittiest appeal I've ever seen.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Johnny the Skitty. Juggles orange balls with its tail, and she gets a perfect score.
This is so reminiscent of Beautifly and the Frisbees.
Even the Frisbees were more dynamic than that shit.
I know. The fact that she got a perfect 10 across the board from a juggle, like a simple juggling act, and it wasn't even like the balls were on fire or like anything.
Johnny wasn't on fire.
No. Nobody was on fire. Nothing was happening. It was just a juggling routine. It was so boring. I don't know how she won. I think she had the pretty privilege for sure. For sure. Oh, yeah.
I think the further you go back in the contest history, the more liable they are to give out perfect scores. Because they were throwing them out recently. Like, they love to give a perfect score in these episodes.
Do you think that it's because, I mean, if something's novel, even if it's simple, if it's novel, it's like, oh, we've never seen that before. And they're more likely to give a perfect score.
Abby won the first Pokemon contest and the first Grand
Festival. She had to have. She had to have, right? No other reason. They were so easily impressed because they didn't really know what they were looking for. So.
Oh, Lord. And by the way, it was Contessa and Tsukizo and Nurse Joy. Yeah. So not a case of different judges.
Nope.
It was our standbys.
Whatever, man. I don't know. So she was like flying high on cloud nine, totally high on her own supply. She's thinking she's the best ever. So she's like, I took that contest win and I wanted to go and travel and see the world and I could win any battle. And so she, as she's traveling around, she meets a shadowy figure who is not revealed, but we could see the outline of this person and a Flygon. I had a thought on who this was, but I could be completely wrong.
Drew's father.
Woo.
Prue.
Prue? Oh my
God. I don't know. What's another name that rhymes with Drew? Brew.
Drew. Crew.
Lou.
Mew.
Mew.
Mew is Drew's father, confirmed.
Okay, who do you think it is?
I thought, based on the pointy hair, that it might be Lance.
Okay. Oh, he had a dragon type.
He had a dragon type, too. And he had the hair.
Oh, I gotta look.
He had the hair. You gotta look. I don't know. Guys, what do you think? Do you think this mystery trainer was Lance? I know it's so random, but with the Flygon, I'm not sure.
Why was the Flygon shrouded in shadow? We've seen Flygon before.
Because it would be weird to have the person shrouded and not the Pokemon. Like, I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
Mystique. I think it's Lance. I don't know who else it could be. I mean, I guess it could just be any random person, but...
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah?
Would you be excited if we saw Lance again soon?
I think I would be somewhat excited, sure.
Okay.
Oh my god, do you remember those commercials for the Lance crackers?
What?
I got Lance in my pants. You don't remember that?
No.
What? Oh my god. Oh my god, that ad campaign, the Lance crackers.
I've never seen these.
They were everywhere. Hold on. I can't believe you don't remember this.
Oh, that's totally Lance.
I'm telling you.
That's Lance. He's got Lance hair. He doesn't have a Lance cape, but he has some sort of something going on.
Is this it?
I think he has big poofy sleeves.
Pick a number from Lance.
This is not it. I don't know. What the hell? It's the Lance in the pants.
Okay.
Anyway, so...
So, it does kind of look like Lance, but I don't think the haircut's exactly right.
I'm going to just assume it is.
Okay. It looks like Mikey's older brother, Pyro, from season one.
Who the hell is Mikey?
Mikey with the Eevee.
Oh, okay.
Mikey likes it.
Was that also a commercial from the 90s?
That's a famous commercial.
Mikey like. What is that from again?
Life Cereal.
Oh, God, I love Life Cereal. Ugh, it's one of the best. Okay.
It's from the 70s, by the way.
Oh, well, shows how much time
just FYI. Distorted. All right, anyway.
God, okay, so we've beat that conversation to death.
Just like Johnny the Skinny was beat to death.
I know. So basically, Lance and Flygon murder Skitty, Johnny the Skitty. He flies off into the abyss. He falls down into a chasm and is critically wounded, near death. But she rushes Johnny to the nearest clinic, which happens to be this clinic that she works at, but at the time it was run by a man named Dr. Moss. Dr. Moss, okay. The naturopath guy. And she became his apprentice, I guess.
Apprentice. Okay, that's what they call it.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I was getting a Watson and Watt vibe anyway, from these two.
Anyway. Yeah, so Moss tutors her, and God only knows how long she was there for, but at the end of her tutelage, after she's become no longer a student and she's learned everything he has to teach her, he gives her an engagement ring. No, just kidding. It's a moonstone. And she uses it to evolve her Skitty, Johnny, into a Delcatty. And it was at this point, I was thinking that, like, this was, like, a long time ago, and that Delcatty had, like, died or passed on, because we didn't see it up to this point.
Yeah, from the contaminated moonstone.
Yeah, and I don't know, do you think, like, the way they were framing it up to this point just seemed like it was in the past tense, like, she was talking about this all in, like, her distant past, and, like, she isn't a coordinator anymore, and her Pokemon is no longer there with them, and so it's kind of like, oh, wow, nostalgia. But no, that's not the case. Johnny is apparently still alive and well. So she's like, Johnny! Here's Johnny!
Is Dr. Moss dead? Or is he also running around the backyard with Johnny?
Oh my god! On all fours!
Yeah!
Yeah, where is Dr. Moss? They don't say that.
We don't know!
Did she, like, kill him?
I think she found some pressure points in his skull. Stab, stab, stab!
Oh my god, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm having, like, so many moments of, like, this reminds me of Kill Bill. The five-point like palm when, oh, exploding yeah, yeah, heart
the
technique.
The very end of yeah, Kill Bill. Yeah,
she, like, hits him in the pressure points and, like, makes his heart explode after he takes, like, a few steps. Oh my god, that gave me these vibes.
Fuck Quentin Tarantino, by the way. I've always thought that.
Yeah, he's gross and disgusting, but Kill Bill Volume 2 was really good. So, in this case, we're separating the art from the artist.
Yeah, but yeah, Dr. Moss, his dead body is in the corner. Johnny was eating it until...
Oh my god.
Dr. Abby called him up to come meet Skitty in May.
Oh, that's so gross. So yeah, Dr. Abby did the five-point exploding heart technique on Moss, and he is dead.
Well, where's their daughter? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Johnny the metaphor?
Is Johnny their child? Daughter?
Oh, gosh.
I'm losing it. Okay.
I know. We're wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up. Okay, so she introduces them to Johnny. Great. Fantastic. Team Rocket is spying on this interaction, and Meowth is daydreaming of giving the boss some pussy cat.
Yay, I'm so glad you're finally on the pussy train.
Yeah! Ironically, I wrote that joke out here without knowing that you were going to make the whole thing a joke earlier. Oh my god. We've come full circle. Anyway, so he's dreaming of giving the boss some pussy cats for some reason.
What a bad boss fantasy.
It wasn't really a true boss fantasy. Not really.
Okay. Trainers!
Thank god, I was wondering when it was going to happen.
Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Wobbuffet? Why not Horsea or Whalmer?
Whalmer for sure.
Okay, trainers. If you chose Why Not, you were right.
Did you say Why Not?
I did.
Why Not?
I didn't mean to, but it just kind of came out that way.
I'm not going to let it go. All right. So, bad boss fantasy, but Meowth thinks it's a good idea to give him a pair of, like, a Skitty and a Delcatty, whatever. So they disguise themselves as, like, German yodelers and, like, lederhosen, and they, like, walk up into the clinic, and they're like, hello.
What were they like? What were they saying?
Hello.
What did they say, Alex?
Now.
Do it again.
Hello.
We gotta get together. We're recording a podcast.
You know, the first time I wasn't thinking it was gonna come out that way.
How did it come out? Do it again.
Hello. All of our German. So sorry. Oh my god. I'm crying. I'm okay. Crying. Okay.
Okay. Collect. Get it together. Ooh. Get it together.
Find my Zen. Okay. I gotta press some pressure points. I gotta get it together.
Ooh. Ooh. Be careful. You don't kill yourself in that.
Okay. Whew. Okay. So they come in and they are disguised. And they claim that the Meowth that they have was gravely injured in a bizarre clogging accident. And so, I'm not even kidding. That's what they
said. I know, and that's what they said.
And so, yeah, they need help. It's a really tragic accident. So, they break their cover when Meowth talks, of course, and they make off with Skitty and Delcatty. We quickly find out that because it's a normal type, Skitty and Delcatty, by extension, can learn a lot of different types of moves. One of them is Solar Beam. Johnny kind of, like, battles by himself. He's kind of, like, doing this independently, and
Johnny is pissed.
He's pissed.
He's, like, a level 100 Delcatty, and he's pissed.
Yeah. Not good for Team Rocket, because he's 2-1 against Sviper and Cacnea, and basically, one-hit KOs them. They're done. Goodbye. Brock and Ash are impressed by the wide move coverage, and it's like, they're like, wow, it knows Thunderbolt, Solar Beam, and even Blizzard. And also Safeguard. Sure.
That's also impressive.
Yeah, sure. This is where things get interesting, and this completely breaks my understanding of how, like, teaching moves to Pokemon works.
No, this was nonsense. This was abject nonsense.
This was some peak, like, nonsense for sure. Abby urges May to have her Skitty do as I do. Do as I do.
Exactly as you do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly as you do.
As Johnny does.
As Johnny does.
And so all Skitty has to do is watch Johnny use Blizzard twice. That's it. And apparently, it can just imitate that and learn it. No big deal. Now we've learned Blizzard. Got it.
I mean, admittedly, the science as to how assist works doesn't make any sense. So maybe Skitty's just really good at manifesting moves out of nowhere. I don't know.
Well, it is like an alien cat. But I don't know. I mean, I can kind of, like, see how assist could explain it away, because it is a move in itself, and it's A, random, B, it's imitation, but then I guess by your logic it has the capability of using the move out of itself.
What Dr. Abby should have done was walked up and be like, okay, Skitty, I'm gonna, like, put a pressure point on, like, your throat here, and, like, you know, on your chest and on your back and a couple places, and if you were to, like, focus your energy here like this, like Johnny does, you could probably learn how to use Blizzard with time. And it could, like, produce a few flakes, and in the next couple episodes we could be practicing that. I don't know.
You know what she could have done? She could have rubbed some Vicks VapoRub on its chest and taught it Blizzard like that.
I love Vicks VapoRub. Don't come for my Vicks VapoRub. No, I swear to God, that shit works. Put it on your sole, your foot, it'll work.
That shit's the best. I'm just saying, there's alternatives.
I got that shit where you take the Vicks VapoRub, like, liquid, and you put it in the dispenser, like the water dispenser. That shit fucking works.
It does. It's great. It's all minty and wonderful. But yeah, now I'm thinking anything would be better than just whatever the hell they did. So, all that to say, Skitty has a new move now. Congrats. I wonder how that's going to come up in contests, because May decides that Skitty is her new contest ace.
You know who's not?
R.I.P. Torchic.
Torchic has long since died. Its body is in the corner with Dr. Moss.
Have you seen that meme where it's like the woman and the child in the pool? And she's, like, holding up the one child, like, oh, you're my new favorite.
Of course.
And then there's that girl next to her who's, like, struggling. But then there's, like, the second panel is the skeleton underwater.
Yes.
I was like, Skitty's the boy. Beautifly's the girl off to the side. And Torchic is dead, drowned in the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, my God. It's true.
It's true. She hates Torchic. I'm so heartbroken for it. It's so sad. I can't believe it. She gets a new Pokemon, and before she ever even uses Torchic at all, she doesn't even try. She hasn't even tried.
Nope.
I don't think it has a chance now. I could be misremembering. I don't think it has a chance to show up in a contest now.
If Torchic is ever in a contest, I don't ever remember it happening.
Ugh. Well, that just solidifies it. I am so sad.
I don't remember that happening.
Poor thing. Gosh. Okay.
Which is so weird. Okay, well, whatever.
I know. It's her first Pokemon. You would think that, like, she would want to at least use it. She should have used it at the first time that she did the contest with, like, Janet and that other guy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That should have been the first time, like, she used it. And then she could have gone on to use Beautifly, like, once she got into the contest circuit proper with, like, Drew and all that, but...
And then Drew beats her.
Yeah.
And then they have a rematch.
Of course. Yeah. Like, that would have been much more sensical.
Have Torchic fail the appeals round.
Yes. Great point.
Because May never once loses the appeals round. She always gets through it.
Mm. Missed opportunity for sure. Mm.
That's also important to note. May never loses the appeals round. Just keep that in mind.
Prodigy, I guess.
Princess Hoenn.
Princess
Hoenn. All right, are we done?
Yes, I think we should totally be done.
Before we get even worse. Okay, so what's the German way to say goodbye?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Goodbye. No, I can't even do it.
Hell, heads, I'm first.
What's heads in German, Austin?
My MVP is Alex. No, it's not.
Aww.
My MVP is Skitty. For being able to learn Blizzard in 3 seconds with no preparation or training whatsoever.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Nice.
My LVP, I mean, I gotta give it to Dr. Abby.
She deserves it. She's...
She's sketchy as all get out. I don't care
for her
at all.
Serial killer vibes.
Ugh. But at least she's not fat. Heaven forbid.
Oh, God.
This is a bad episode. This is a bad episode.
It is. You know what? I take back what I said earlier. Now that we've basically dissected this episode and laid bare all of its problems, I don't think I prefer this anymore.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm done. I want to get off this ride.
Oh, my quote. Oh, geez. Okay, I got a Brock line.
It's a dirty one. I think I know what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's a Dr. Abby. Amazing what you did with massage. Now, if you just come do the same thing with my heart, you and I could rock and roll, you know?
Ooh. That's very Elvis. Yeah,
Eric Stewart did an Elvis thing.
He did the Elvis thing.
Like Johnny Bravo. Johnny Bravo.
Hey there, pretty mama.
Yeah, well, whatever. Man, I'm pretty.
But not us. We're not pretty. We don't have pretty privilege.
Do the monkey with me.
I love Johnny Bravo, even though he's problematic for sure. My MVP is going to be Lance and Flygon. I don't know.
Okay.
I truly do not know.
Sure, Lance gets an MVP for this one.
Sure, because he question mark shows up and did not show Skitty any mercy. So
try to kill Johnny and Dr. Abby while we have the chance.
I know. These are the kinds of gritty Pokemon battles we love to see, right? Like true Pokemon battles.
I have a backup LVP, by the way. That's really good.
Who's your backup LVP? Well, I haven't done mine yet. So
yeah, okay. But I'm saying if you want to use Dr. Abby, you can have her.
No, I don't know. I'm thinking. Okay. I'm thinking still. God, I'm trying to go back through and be like, what else did we like do? You know what? Oh, I know. I'm going to give it to Contesta, Tsukizo, and Joy for giving a perfect 10 out of 10. Ah! Was that what you were going to do?
That was it.
Ah!
That was what I was going to say.
Oh, my God! Austin did not give me any prompting. I wasn't even, like, paying attention. I was just like, thinking. Oh, my God.
It just
God.
Hit me all of a sudden and hit you, too, as well. That was a good choice.
Brain blast. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Those three idiots, because they were so easily impressed. They're just like, oh, my God. Three balls juggling at the same time. 10 out of 10. Yeah. Those three.
We have a cat that can fucking speak fluent English and drive machines. Right? But they're impressed with the fucking juggling cat. I'm just saying.
It really boggles. It really boggles. Okay. My quote is the one from Team Rocket. Well, James Meowth specifically. When they're spying and Meowth is having his strange daydream of giving Giovanni cats, James says, but if full sets are good, wouldn't it stand to reason that a set of all six Eevee stages would be even better? And Meowth screams at him, do you see any Eevees around? Work with me here. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Weak sauce boss fantasy, but whatever.
You make do. All right.
It was a phone-it-in episode, for sure.
For sure. What is next week, Austin? You hinted that it may pick up a little bit, so curious.
It may. Disaster of Disguise.
Oh?
And Disguise the Limit.
I'm assuming this is like a two-parter?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. I did look at the thumbnails of the upcoming two episodes. I do see what those Pokemon of the day are going to be. I don't recall the context at all. All right, well, look forward to that. It's a two-parter, so that'll be fun. But yeah, any final thoughts on these two?
Sorry, everyone. We'll be better next time.
You know what you're getting into. When we say after work recording, this is it, y'all. It's crazy. Crazy time.
You know, normal people go to a bar and drink. This is what we do after work.
Arguably much more fun. Just saying.
Okay. I've not had a single drop of alcohol. I swear to God.
Me neither. Look, guys, I came straight from work, sat in rush hour traffic, jumped in the shower, sat right down and did this podcast. Like, I literally no break in between. So I'm crashing out. Haven't even eaten anything.
All right. Let's go get some food. It's like 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Bye.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so, so, so much for listening, sticking with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you got a few laughs at least. If you want to get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts. We have our Gmail account outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our Instagram and Blue Sky. Same handle @outofthedryingpan. You can follow us over there. We'd really appreciate it. We also have our Patreon. If you like this podcast and want to support us, we would very much appreciate it as well. You can find the link in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content, like the pre-recording we just did prior to this podcast. So go ahead and check it out. We would love it. And if you can, leave us a 5-star review, thumbs up, wherever you can. It would help us out as well. All that being said, thank you so, so, so much for listening. And we will see you next week as the journey continues.